Hello and welcome back to Pretty Girls Club, where the pretty girls are welcome, but sometimes the ugly is also okay. I don't never forget about y'all. Anyways, in this episode of the Pretty Girls Club, we're actually just going to talk about things I like. So, yeah, so I don't know why you would care about it, but if you do, then today we're talking about all my favorite TV shows that are kind of like a all-time favorite list that will not be ranked in order. So I'm just going to like sit here, discuss some shows that have taken up a bit too much of my time and my life and my mental capacity, because I think about it, I talk about it all the time. So yeah, just going to tell you all my favorite shows and pretty much give you guys a TV show recommendation list. So if you're looking for something new to start watching, this is it. This is the episode you're going to want to listen to. So yes, let's begin with this list of all my favorite TV shows. So I guess I should kind of categorize them because I watch a whole bunch of random shows and there's no like one particular... Okay, that's a lie. There is one particular genre I like the most, which is comedy, of course. So I feel like I watch... the genre that I watch the most, of course, comedy, like sitcoms, easy watching shows, because I also multitask a lot when I watch TV shows. So like I love watching stuff that doesn't fully require like my undivided attention, because I love being able to do something else, even if it's like work and just leave a show playing on the background. So I have a lot of shows like that are like easy watching comedy fun shows that I would consider most of them to be classics. And if you haven't watched them, you really should. So on that list of just fun comedy shows, I would say the first show on that list, so this is not in any like particular order lah, I like them all equally. But one easy watching show that you have to watch is Modern Family. So I'm starting the list very strong with Modern Family, because I think that is a show I've already rewatched completely. It is so much fun. I love the format of the entire show, how the entire show, like how the episodes build up, and how like you fall in love with so many different characters on this series. So the show is pretty much, I mean, if you've never watched Modern Family, it is literally about one massive family, but you see the different parts of all the families. So you see like a very conventional, typical like hetero couple and their kids and all the drama, all the fun stuff that surrounds them. You see a gay couple who has an adopted child and all their family chaos. And then you see the dad of like both these kids who have their own families and his family, and he is remarried to like a younger hot like mom, and he has a stepson, you know. So it's very like very different, I guess, family units, and they look very different. They are not, I guess, you also have a very conventional one, and then you have super unconventional family like units, but you see how it all comes together and you see the chaos that like brings them together. And it's very fun because some episodes, like they have so many cameos throughout the entire series, which makes it also very exciting and very fun. And a lot of these characters are just so like, I don't know, my all-time favorite character in Modern Family is Phil. So Phil Dunphy is the dad in one of these families that I mentioned. And he's the most like, I guess I just want him to be my dad. I don't know, but like he's so funny, and he has this a book that he wrote called the Philosophy. Yes, philosophy. But it's basically a book that is literally just all his unhinged like life advice for his own kids. And yeah, I love how the story progresses. I love how they do so many callback jokes throughout like the seasons that go by. They even have this very iconic character that Phil role plays, which is Clive Bixby, which is very funny. When you watch it, you will know. But yeah, I think the show also tackles a lot of like very real like concerns, you know, real life like situations, because obviously it centers family, right? So there are a lot of like themes that are very relatable that are discussed in the show. But in general, every episode will make you like chuckle or laugh out loud. It is a very fun, easy watching show. You will fall in love with so many characters. Phil is just a very easy to love one, but also very easy to get annoyed with. But yeah, actually my true favorite character of the show is Stella. When you watch the show, you'll know who Stella is, okay? So that is my true favorite. But if I had to pick a human, then it would be Phil. Okay, so yeah, watch Modern Family if you haven't. Very fun show. So another show I would put in the same category, Modern Family, easy watching, wholesome, fun, would be... it's quite chaotic, but it would be The Office. So The Office is definitely mockumentary, chaotic. Yeah, super chaotic. And I'm talking about the US version. So of course, it's the UK and US version. I love the Steve Carell version. And the cast itself, for me... I watched it, I think, many, many years ago, and it is a show I'm, like, ready to rewatch, like, at any point. They have so many, like, massive, like, milestone episodes, like, big things happen, also tackles a lot of themes. It is somehow got quite emotional, even though it was a very, like, funny, ridiculous, absurd show. So it was also quite beyond its time. I feel like they did that mockumentary concept and series, like, at a time where this was, like, not done that well before. So yeah, it really was very, like, I've never watched a show that absurd, and a show that just made me like, what is even going on here? And it helped that the main character was really absolute chaos. Like, Steve Carell's character was just you could never predict what he was gonna do or say, and at some point you would just be annoyed with the character because you're like, why is he doing this? Why is he making everybody's lives difficult? But it was also just so funny that you just needed to keep watching, and you also kind of understood the chaos behind the character. And I feel like he was also relatable to an extent, and so many characters are part of the office, like this office setting. And it's so funny because when I first started watching this show, I didn't even know what this office did. Like, when I went into like starting like this show, I was just like, okay, obviously it centers like everybody from this office, but they freaking sell paper. They are a paper company, which is so funny to me because clearly that's a dying business. But yeah, I think just the absurdity of that even, and how random that was, and where the whole show was set. It was just in some random town that was, yeah, quiet, very like, that was the most happening thing in the entire town, clearly. But The Office really killed it with their mockumentary style, and every confession cam scene was just so like, was gold, so funny. Everything Mindy Kaling said in this whole series is like very relatable now as a grown-ass adult. I'm like, actually, I relate to her quite a lot. And everything she also said was very unhinged. So many characters that I like a lot. Of course, the classic like Jim and Pam, which are the stars of the show, the couple of the series. But I think my all-time favorite character has to be freaking Michael Scott lah. He's so cute. I have a t-shirt where it's a quote from the show, and he says, "I'm not superstitious, I'm just a little stitious." So yeah, he's full of shit. He's just nonsense. So if you haven't watched Office, please watch it. I feel like you'll get so many references after watching it, and all the memes that you see online, and I'm sure you have already seen online. So another show that is very similar to The Office in terms of how it's shot and the mockumentary style, which is also, I guess, a bit similar to Modern Family also, is Parks and Rec. So Parks and Rec, I feel like it is the most similar to The Office because it is also set in the Parks and Recreational office, you know, and it was also essentially, yeah, very similar to The Office, just that it was done at a later time period. So I feel like it was a bit more polished when you watch it. It's a bit more like, it's not as anyhow zoom in or chaotic, but it still is, but somehow I guess it was maybe done a bit better or just looked a bit better because of the time period it was done in, like, yeah, years apart lah. But basically the cast also, same thing, very similar to The Office. So there are a lot of like similar tropes, similar things, but for me, the Parks and Rec was the show that made me completely fall in love with Aubrey Plaza. Like, her character and her role in Parks and Rec, which was just so, like, she was the most relatable character. She hated everything and everyone, and she just didn't even understand why she was there, and she did not want to show up to the job every day, but she did, and she did a horrible job at it. Like, she was bad at her job, she hated everything, but somehow thrived till she made it through. Like, I'm sure she got a promotion at the end of this. I don't know, she was doing great by the end of the season. And this was also one of the first few times that I think probably the only series I've ever seen Chris Pratt in, like a TV series. And the character that he played, I feel like this was obviously before his like Marvel fame and all of that. So I like that like dopey, like just whatever, like very difficult to love like character that he played. But I feel like it was very opposite from what we see in like Guardians of the Galaxy, and that Chris Pratt, that version of him that we see there is like a bit obnoxious lah. So I did like Chris Pratt in the series as well, but he was also very like dumb and annoying, but it was funny lah because he was dating Aubrey Plaza throughout the show, right? So I mean the character, Aubrey Plaza's character. So it made it really like, they were an interesting couple, it was fun to watch, and they have so many chaotic themes throughout the show. They have a treat yourself thing that happens throughout the show, so the characters are very like, very, also very meme-worthy, very like chaotic. And also somehow you fall in love with all the characters. It gets very emotional and you get very invested in the series, but it is a very easy watching series. And because it is so like specific, it is set in a Parks and Rec office. You also explore a lot of things that like I guess you don't normally see or talk about. So like the way they like handle like Parks and Rec like problems within the neighborhood, the city. And there's also like one of the characters runs for city council. So there are all these things that are like quite interesting or themes that are not usually explored in like a comedy sitcom type of show. So yeah, it's really fun. Amy Poehler is obviously a very difficult to dislike person and character. So you will love and you'll love her character Leslie Knope a lot when you watch this series as well. So another like fun comedy show that same thing, easy watching, would categorize it the same way, would be Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So I feel like out of all the shows that I mentioned, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is probably the most recent like show. It is the one that is the newest out of this list. And it has already concluded, but it's easily one of the very fun, easy watching shows as well. And same thing, I like that it is set in a space where like you don't normally see a lot of fun shows set in. You don't normally see a lot of comedy surrounding, obviously, like the police force, right? The NYPD. You don't normally see like fun stuff surrounding that. You see a lot of like Criminal Minds type shows. So of course those are very serious. You see a lot of like documentaries, stuff like that. But to have like a comedy sitcom based in like NYPD, and of course for the cast to be like pretty inclusive, for them to address themes that were like very real to what was happening in the world as well. And yeah, it was a pretty inclusive show in terms of casting as well, which was something I really appreciated while watching it. And I liked the different, like, they also have a very iconic dog in the show called Cheddar the Corgi. So I guess I just like it every time a show has a dog lah. But my favorite character in Brooklyn Nine-Nine was Gina Linetti, because she hated everything and everyone also. Quite similar to the Aubrey Plaza character in Parks and Rec. So very sassy, would just do whatever, don't even know why they show up to work because they seem like they absolutely hate it, but they show up there and they insult everyone at the workplace. And it's just a field day lah to watch this kind of thing. And I feel like me and her will be besties in real life. So they also have a lot of fun themes. So it's not a very serious like police force type of show, of course. They do bring you on like their jobs and like how they go catch criminals and things, but it's always comedic, always fun to watch. A lot of fun cameos. I think they also did a crossover with the next show that I'm going to mention, which is New Girl. So New Girl is a freaking like, wow, this show came out pretty long ago as well. I have fully rewatched this entire show just like a couple of months ago. Oh, New Girl is such a good show. So this is probably the only show I can think of where I absolutely love every single male character in the show, which is rare because like, obviously there's a mix of male and female like main characters, right? And the three, four main male characters are all very hard to dislike as well. Like, very lovable, very hilarious. You see parts of, like, yourself in all of them that make you super annoyed with them, but also completely fall in love and just completely understand their, like, ridiculous thought processes behind a lot of things they do and say. So, of course, I do really like the fact that one of the main characters, other than Zooey Deschanel, Hannah Simone, like, she is obviously an Indian girl, so it was very nice to see her play like a main role, and she was a massive part of the show. And the character development that you see from season one all the way till the end, how they have matured, how they are still themselves, and that quirky, say and do all the quirky, insane things that they do, but you can see the growth over like the seasons. And yeah, it's a very fun show to watch. The premise was also like fun, like, you know, this new girl comes into the loft and she's the only female here, and she's stuck in a, she rented a place, signed a lease, and she didn't know she was signing up to stay with a bunch of chaotic men who ended up being like some of the most important people in her life lah. Yeah, so it's a fun show, explore a lot of like relationship drama, and like, over the years, like a lot of like predictable tropes lah, of course, but it was very fun to watch how they played this out on screen. And don't think there was another show that like did it as like, even though it was a lot of very similar tropes that you see in a typical like rom-com, sitcom type thing. Yeah, I don't think it was like, it made me feel like, aya, lame, expected. Like they always did it in a very fun, quirky, unique way, or like just so chaotic that you are just always laughing your ass off watching this show. So those are like my very easy to watch comedy shows that you should, if you haven't watched, go watch, because they've been out for like super, super long already. And I'm sure you guys like also have friends that have already watched it and probably told you to go watch it. So I would highly recommend all of those. Easy watching, 20-minute fun sitcom comedy, laugh out loud shows. Okay, so I wouldn't. Okay. So there's another like comedy show that I would put on that list, but it's not as easy watching and it's a much longer, like longer form type of series. So I have to mention Glee. Okay, so Glee came out at a time that was also like, I cannot believe a show like this is out there because of how racy, like how they really towed the lines of what you can say or what you shouldn't be saying on TV. And the themes that they explored were also really important. And it was such an absurd show. Like the way the teachers talk to the students already, I'm like, this is not allowed. This is confirm illegal. But, well, the themes... Okay, we cannot talk about Glee without acknowledging the fact that Glee was obviously cursed. Like the cast of Glee, everything that has happened since the show aired, you know, the amount of like cast members that are no longer even like with us, which is so like, it's just so sad to even think and talk about, because that show, I'm sure, was a very important part of a lot of people's like formative years and was quite a iconic show and an important show of that time, I feel. So even though there are a lot of things that like would not fly today if that show came out today, like for sure a lot of the things said and just the words and the language used in the show, like I'm sure would not be okay or socially accepted in like 2023. I'm glad the show came out when it did, because I think it was really important. And even in terms of like it being a show surrounding like music, dance and all those fun themes, like I think it also helped a lot of people of like my generation learn about a lot of songs that we probably would never go actively listen to, like things from the 80s, you know, and even hear and see artist cameos on screen that like we never even, artists that we probably would never hear of or actively go listen to unless, you know, our parents told us about them, because it was songs from the previous generation. So it was nice to like watch them do like a fresh fun take of like these older songs, and for them to also bring back, like, have a whole Britney Spears episode, you know, when they did, that's easily one of the most iconic Glee episodes ever. So obviously my all-time favorite Glee characters has to be Santana and Britney, because Santana and Britney are like hilarious, funny. So I love Naya Rivera so much, so she was easily my all-time favorite character on Glee. The show, the theme, everything was so ridiculous. Lea Michele cannot even read, so I don't know how she even did this show for so many years. But yeah, of course, I think when Finn, like the character Finn, when he passed away in real life, like when Corey passed away in real life, I think the show, of course, took like a weird, like downhill spiral, like naturally, because how do you finish up a show when your lead character is no longer like alive, right? It's just so, it was so sad lah, to watch how it all played out on screen also. And personally for me, I think if you just want to watch the show because of how like it was a really like fun, chaotic, hilarious, like tongue-in-cheek type of like show, I would say like go watch the first four seasons, just go have fun with it. Like you don't have to finish this show, but of course by all means if you want to, go for it. But it is also a long form like show, so it is not like an easy watching 20-minute show. And but there is a lot of songs throughout an episode, so of course you don't have to pay like full attention, and you can kind of multitask while watching a show like this. But Glee is definitely a show that I would highly recommend if you've never watched it, because I always thought it was going to be like a lame, like musical vibe show, but it was the most racy, ridiculous, absurd, chaotic show that I saw of that time. So highly recommend it. And if you love music, then you need to watch Glee. Yeah. So, okay, so I feel like out of the list that I wrote, those are all the like comedic type shows. But now we're going to go to the more serious stuff. So personally, of course, comedy is a genre I just gravitate to. But I do watch like serious drama type things, but that's not my go-to lah. But if I did, you know, like these are the shows that I've watched so far and would highly recommend. So the first one on that list, I would put White Lotus on that list. So White Lotus is also a show that came out quite recently. It only has 2 seasons. You can watch it on HBO Go. So that's where I watched it, and I only found out about it when like I think it was nominated for an Emmy, or like it was nominated for a huge award, and a lot of people started sharing about it and talking about it on social media. And I was like, I've never in my life heard of this show. What is this show? So when I started to search it, watch trailers and stuff, I was just very confused, because it still never gave me a clear like understanding of like what is this show. It wasn't as like obvious, like, oh, this is set in a home and it's a family thing, you know. It was really just all over the place. It felt like I did not understand it by the trailer, which also made me a bit intrigued. That was when I also realized the cast was really star-studded. And that made me like, okay, you know what? Maybe let's give it a shot. Let's just watch one episode. So how the show starts is that it shows you the end of the series. It begins with the end. So it's one of those shows where everything just unravels within, like, as the episodes go by. So a bit of like a whodunit type of thing. So when you watch it, you see some crazy thing happen at the start. And then you spend the rest of the episodes, which are just like 8 episodes, but they are long episodes. You spend it watching, trying to make your guesses, trying to figure out how could this have possibly led to that. And that is, it's quite fun doing that because you somehow will constantly keep guessing. And every episode you will have a different answer or a different guess as to like, how is this season going to end the way that it started? Like how? I don't understand it. I don't know how, but let's watch this play out. So the themes explored also include things like white privilege, like a lot of misogyny, a lot of themes that are not very like, not a lot of people would be comfortable to just sit and watch. It's definitely not an easy watching show, but it tackles a lot of these themes and the way it is portrayed, the way it is put out there really makes you feel a lot of things when you watch the show. Like you get really, it's a show that makes you feel really like, sometimes very annoyed or just very frustrated. So you will feel a lot of things when you watch a show like that, especially when you care about the world in general and you care about like marginalized groups, you know, and things like that. If you care about things in general, it's a show that will piss you off lah, to an extent. But the way it's written, the way it's played out, it's so like real and realistic that you're like, wow, this is so well written, it's so well thought out and executed. And the cast, very fun, very like amazing star-studded cast. Every character like really plays into the role like so well that you really either hate them or you love them. Yeah, so either this is a show I would recommend. And the one word to describe this show with has to be unsettling. So it made me just feel very like, wow, this is so awkward, so unsettling. This just makes me uncomfortable all around. But it just made me want to keep watching. Yeah, so I would highly recommend that. Okay, so the next show that is also heavy-ish and a show that doesn't seem like it will ever end lah. It's one of my all-time favorite shows, Grey's Anatomy. So I honestly think I'm Singapore's top doctor now because I know what a hematoma is and I didn't even go to medical school. Okay, but really though. So this show was recommended to me when I thought I was way too young for this show. So I remember always associating this show with like adult themes, especially like sex, because the theme song and the intro opening sequence of this show, it will show the legs of like two people in bed, you know, and it never showed any faces or any characters in the opening, the original opening sequence, but you could just see like people in bed and like clearly having sex. But but yeah, so I was always like, isn't this show a medical show? What do they do in hospital? I scared, you know, so yeah, so it's a show that just made me be like, I don't think this show is for me, and I always avoided it. I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm into like gory stuff or medical things, or like this show just has adult themes, so I avoided it. But eventually, I think when I was a little bit older, I started the show and I was like, wow, I completely misunderstood what this show was about. Of course, naturally in a medical drama there will be some level of like gore, if that's what you call it, but I would say it's just like you see the insides of people, you see like surgery scenes and stuff like that. So those things, like if that makes you squeamish, then of course, like look away, I guess, at those parts, but that's not the bulk of the show. You know, like you can close your eyes and watch. But no, that's obviously not the bulk of the show. The show is centers around like the entire hospital, all the characters of the hospital, all the doctors, the interns, the residents that work at this one big teaching hospital and their lives and all the crazy that happens throughout their like internship, like the main cast and when they started their internship at this hospital lah. So if you watch Grace, you obviously know this show centers around someone called Meredith Grey, and she is easily a character you either love or you absolutely hate, and I think a lot of people hate her. So she does annoy me, but I don't, yeah, like she does annoy me. I definitely am leaning more towards disliking her than liking her. but yeah, it's a show that really has gone on for so long. And many times throughout Grey's Anatomy, I've always wondered, like, how are they going to end this series? Like, how are they going to end it without just killing everyone off? Because something that they started to do, like, as I started to watch a few seasons in, I realized that it was such an obvious trope for the writers to just end every season with an insane like natural disaster, some freak accident, some mishap, some like really dramatic or like some like legal, you know, like issue that happens, like something like very, very, very major like that. So it started to get very obvious. And like there's a Yeah, and we're talking about really like major accidents, like we're talking plane crash, like drowning, like explosion, like really bomb threat. Like really a lot of these themes come out. Like you, as much as it was predictable because you always knew something insane was going to happen, I guess you would never really be able to guess what that thing was. So that was the one that always kept me like on the edge of my seat, like what is going to happen now? So my absolute most hated Grey's Anatomy episode, easily, okay? The musical episode. Why? Why suddenly all the doctors pushing the dying patient, or then they all start singing? Why they start singing? Suddenly I'm watching Glee? Why am I watching Glee? Glee over long already. So that was, if you watch Grey's Anatomy, please agree with me in the comments. Nobody would disagree with that. So that was probably the most hated Grey's Anatomy episode there. But this is easily the show that made me feel the most emotions I've ever felt in my life. And I don't think there was a show... Okay, that definitely didn't make me laugh a lot, lah. But it's a show that obviously made me, like, really angry, really upset. I've shed so many tears watching Grey's Anatomy. And I've also rewatched Grey's Anatomy before, so I've shed the same tears twice. So, yeah, there are a lot of very, very insane, like, characters or, like, periods of time. Like, there's this one very iconic storyline all surrounding this character called a patient called Danny Duquette. So that story behind it and like everything that happened surrounding this character was just, it's still something that like happened very early into the Grey's Anatomy like franchise and the whole show in general, but it's still something that I think about randomly. And I still think it is at some parts you just feel like, wow, this show is so well written, and then at some parts you're like, okay lah, it's not a big cringe lah. You know, so it's a show that I still wonder how, I don't understand how it's going to end. Right now, they are on season 20, 19 or 20. Yeah, so they are on season 19 right now. And I watch it occasionally every time I remember to, but like it's now on Disney Plus. So I watch it every time it's like I remember to watch an episode, but it doesn't excite me as much as it used to because all the main characters that I loved and I really enjoyed watching are either all written off, dead, or like they left the show because the show was going on for too long for them already and they got other jobs to do. So like you can tell that like this, yeah, it's sad because now when you look at the show, it's like really a whole bunch of complete strangers that are now the main cast. And even like, I mean, obviously this is public information, Meredith is not even in the freaking show anymore. Like, it's just so insane to me. And like, so the part where I'm at is like, she's already written off. But she's somebody that obviously talk about all the time. She's still like, I'm sure she would do, I'm sure that she would do like cameos here and there, or like some doctors would like naturally travel for work and then see her. Like, you know, so I'm sure that's going to happen lah. But it's, to me, it's just like, it just feels like, I feel like they should have ended this show when it was still like, at a point in time where a lot of people still cared about the show. And I feel like they've dragged it on for too long. And then obviously COVID hit, so it cannot be a medical drama and not acknowledge a pandemic. So when the COVID part happened in Grey's Anatomy or so, that was just some level of drama. And the amount of characters that got written off during that COVID part or so, and how they got written off. And it was just so like, in my mind, I'm like watching this and annoyed. But I'm like, how am I still crying? Why am I still sad? You know, so Grey's is definitely the ultimate emotional roller coaster show for me. And it made me feel so many things so strongly that sometimes I would hear a freaking song and I would remember that, oh my god, that's the song they played when that character died. So yeah, Snow Patrol, Chasing Cars, The Fray, How to Save a Life, all these are triggering Grey's Anatomy songs, okay? But yeah, as long as they don't do a musical episode anymore, I will still watch it and I'll finish it. I'll watch everything until this show concludes. But yeah, Grey's Anatomy, iconic show. Okay, so another show that I was pretty obsessed with, was I obsessed with the show or was the main character obsessed with every single person that he fell in love with? So this show is called You. Every time I talk about this show, I always need to clarify that it's the show that's called You. I'm not talking about you. But anyways, this, I feel like if you are an OG Gossip Girl fan, you need to watch this show because this show is just watching Daniel Humphrey, watching him be as chaotic as he is in You is so like, it's just so insane to see that lack of character development, I guess. But yeah, it was a very like, I don't even think you can spoil Gossip Girl, but I don't want to spoil it. Okay, anyways, if you watch Gossip Girl, you obviously know exactly what I mean. But so the lead character in You is called Joe. His name is Joe Goldberg, played by Penn Badgley. And he is, when I started watching the show, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm obviously going to give it a shot. And then when I started watching it, I did not expect it to go that way. And it's also one of those shows where I really somehow enjoy the format of it. So I didn't expect to. I didn't think I would like something like this, but it's not your typical format. So Joel Goldberg, he narrates the entire show. So as the show's playing out, you know, it's his voice. Honestly, the show is more than 50% like voiceover and narration by him, which is a very interesting format lah. So you just hear his voice throughout, and then you see him living life, and you see everything in real time, and then that narration gets interrupted by like the real life conversation that they are having, and it goes back into what's in his head and what's happening in real life. So that's an interesting concept that I never thought I liked. I thought it would annoy me quite a bit, but it was actually quite interesting to follow through. And obviously, if you know anything at all about the show, it is about someone who's really obsessive, someone who is obsessed over like his romantic partners, and then goes to insane lengths to, I guess, be with that person or like protect them, you know, air quotes. I'm doing air quotes. But yeah, so the show goes to places that you really don't expect, and you just think it's like, I think after watching season one especially, I didn't, and then but right now the show is on season four. So after watching season one, you would never expect it to get to where it is in season four. So it was, season four felt quite all over the place, and I didn't enjoy it half as much as all the other seasons. And my all-time favorite season is season three. How that season was written, how it was ended, and like how how that show just like, it made me feel so many things that I went to rewatch that like season finale scene so many times. And they also like the song choice, everything they picked, and like was just so well done and so well thought out that I was like, wow, this is like really How to Get Away with Murder style, like insane, like very well thought out plot. So yeah, it's a show that also made me feel a lot of things. And it is definitely a show that talks a lot about very problematic, obsessive partners, toxic relationships, misogynistic like partners, you know, people that like gaslight you, act like they are doing things to protect you for your own good, but actually fully ruining your life or fully just murdering everybody in your life, you know, it's just insane. So You is a show that, same thing, you need to like pay attention to. It's a show you need to give your undivided attention to, and it's one of those shows that you would want to binge watch lah. Like once you start, you cannot like stop. And it's a very, I like it a lot. I still am asking a lot of people in my life to go watch it if they haven't. But I am not going to lie, I didn't really like season 4. But they are concluding the entire series with the season 5. So hopefully season 5 does end in a way that I don't expect. And yeah, I hope it makes me feel things that I'm like, oh my gosh, didn't I expect this? Yeah. Okay, so I personally do not watch horror. I hate all things horror. I don't really mind a thrilling show, but it really cannot be supernatural. So the one show that I guess has horror in its freaking title that I somehow love so much is American Horror Story. So American Horror Story was a show that I don't know why I started. I think someone told me to, and I did it in broad daylight because I was really terrified. And I went to watch it, and then I realized, oh my gosh, I love this show so much. So what I really appreciate about a show, even though I absolutely hate horror, was the fact that I think it was so well written and so unpredictable, and so like you could never expect where the show ends up, and you could also just, and you were just so like hooked to it, you just were so drawn in by it that you need to know what happens. And if you're afraid of like, yeah, if you're like me, you're spooked easily, you cannot sleep when you watch a scary show, just watch this in broad daylight, watch it with someone else, lower your volume, watch it with subtitles, you know, like do all those things, take all the precautionary measures you need to watch a scary show, but it's worth the watch. So they have so many seasons, and like, it's really like very, every season is significantly different. So the one thing that's really cool about this show is that they essentially recycle their cast. So like, you see a lot of the same actors and actresses throughout the entire series, but every season is so different that they are playing a character that is unrecognizable, completely different. Nothing, like maybe they might have some similarities here and there, but they're not related at all. So you can just watch a season. You don't have to watch it in order. You don't have to start with season one. You don't have to do anything like that. If you just randomly, one of the seasons seem like something you would like, just go randomly watch it. They're not related. So I think one of my all-time favorite seasons of the American Horror Story franchise is the Asylum season. So Sarah Paulson is clearly one of the best, like most iconic actresses of our time. And she kills it in this series. Like every role that she gets throughout this whole franchise is so good. So like season three, the Asylum series, she plays like a reporter that goes to get herself institutionalized in this asylum where a lot of insane things are happening and she needs to write about it, but she ends up being a patient there just to write about it, and a lot of crazy things unfold there. it's really like unpredictable, unexpected, really good. There's another season called Freak Show, which centers around like a circus freak show type of cast. And it's so like, also another show, also a season that was very unsettling and very like, very gory also to an extent. So you have to be okay with those themes to watch it. But yeah, like I said, like, really like the writing is so good and the acting is so good in this series that for me, every time I felt like, okay, this is damn scary or this part is going to be super scary, I'll really just lower my volume, mute or like close my eyes. Like it's worth doing that. Like it's worth being spooked. And it also like touches on a lot of themes that are very real. So there was an entire season about election. So this was when freaking Donald Trump was elected. And the whole season centers around like intense, like problematic Republicans, very, very like, yeah, people who were just extremists, lah, basically. And oh, it was very real, very scary to watch because this was, it just felt like it was real life in America at that point. So of course, exaggerated, lah, but it was just very interesting to watch these themes played out and the way it was written, the acting in the show is like, really, really good. So if you would appreciate these things, you have to watch American Horror Story. So another show that is the crime equivalent of it is literally American Crime Story. So American Crime Story centers, like, it's a show that every season focuses on that one big crime or one big case that we have all, like, seen or heard of in our time. So season one of American Crime Story was all about the O.J. Simpson case. And same thing, the casting, acting was so good that you're just like hooked. And I think I've rewatched that already. It's like so well done. And now you see all the details played out that you might not have read or heard about the case. So like watching it is like really helps you like have a visual aid to like everything that happened like back then. And the second one was actually about the assassination of Gianni Versace. So that was also something I never knew about. I didn't even know that freaking Versace was assassinated. I never knew that. So watching it play out and seeing like, wow, it was same thing, acting so well done. Shout out to Darren Criss from Glee, who was in American Crime Story, who is an amazing actor and was also in some seasons of American Horror Story. And yeah, so well done. So season 3 of American Crime Story that I've been told to watch by Kai Ying many times and I need to go and watch is actually called Impeachment. So she has also rewatched it many times. I will go watch that season next. So yeah, I would highly recommend American Horror Story and American Crime Story. Very intense shows that are just so executed so well. Okay, so the last show on my list is a show I'm currently rewatching right now with Shaq. So I've already watched this a couple of years ago. This is Orange is the New Black. So I forgot how good the show was. Like, it's one of those shows that now as I'm rewatching it many years later, I'm like, wow, this show also came out at a time that like, not a lot of like TV series or like just mainstream media like talked about a lot of themes like this. So it's of course a show centered around a female, like female prisoners in a female correctional facility, and they're all like, wow, the way the format of the show as well is something I really like. So every episode they slowly would unravel a different character's backstory and how they ended up in prison and like their childhood, their upbringing and stuff. So it's very unexpected because you don't expect it to go a certain way, and you really cannot guess why someone would end up in prison. So it also like, yeah, it's normalizing a lot of very important conversations. They also show a lot of like, it's a very inclusive cast for sure. They talk a lot about different themes like race, like gender identity. There is a very iconic transgender actress in the show, you know, and they touch on a lot of very important topics. They touch on police brutality, which obviously was something that the show had to talk about and had to address. So it's a show that, yeah, very important show that came out at the time. I'm really glad I watched it when I did. And I'm glad to be rewatching it also right now. So I'm excited to like rewatch it because I forgot about a lot of things that happened in the show. And every time I watch a new episode, I'm like reminded that, wow, wait, I forgot this show talked about these things. Or I forgot how good this show was. And as heavy as the show is, they do have a lot of characters in that show. So there are some characters that offer like an insane amount of comic relief. So they are really, really funny, hysterical characters. Everything and anything they say or do will just make you laugh out loud and just chuckle. So the way they roast each other, the way they talk to each other in prison and like how they communicate, sometimes it's just very amusing, lah, very fun to watch. And fun. It's so funny to see the way they roast each other and just bully each other lah, for the lols, lah, of course. So yeah, highly recommend Orange is the New Black if you've never watched it. Important show, talks about a lot of themes, and I I can't believe I forgot how good the show was. So that was my list of all my all-time like favorite shows. I'm sure I missed out some here or there. But another big category that I watch that I don't really talk about because like I don't know how I feel about recommending these types of shows, but I have to acknowledge the fact that I watch quite a bit of reality TV. So last time when I was much younger, I did watch things like Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And then as I was growing up, I was like, I don't know how I feel about them. They're quite whack and problematic. So I stopped watching that as a... Yeah, in like the last don't know how many years, I've never really watched. But of course, it comes out on my feed, on social media, so I see snippets here and there lah. So another thing, so the reality shows that I watch now are actually mainly Netflix reality shows. So Netflix has a lot of original reality shows that I think are so good, so cringe-worthy, so funny. So I have to talk about Love is Blind. Love is Blind has just been an insane wild ride to watch. The fact that they just date people that they don't even see like across like a wall, and then like eventually see them for the first time when they are engaged already, and then choose to live with them, get married, like meet the family all within a couple of weeks. That one's all very like intense, and every time the reunion comes back, it's always like, yeah, confirm or break up. Confirm, like, you know, it's so predictable. So I have a group chat with two of my friends, Jana and Joanne, and we watch all the same reality shows. So let's see, I think we named the chat something Love Island is Blind. That's what the chat is, because we use that chat to talk about Love Island and Love is Blind. So yeah, other than Love is Blind, another show that I watch is Love Island, and that was something that I used to be vehemently against because I was like, oh, this confirmed damn trashy, I will hate it. Wow, and then I gave it a shot and I was like, oh my god, it is everything that I thought it would be. But somehow I cannot stop watching. So it was quite like, that is probably the show I'm most embarrassed of that I watched, like, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, there's nothing else that I feel embarrassed about other than Love Island. Yeah, I think that's true. I tried one season of Too Hot to Handle, so I guess that's more embarrassing. Because that one was all about like physical like stuff, which is damn gross. So I cannot watch Too Hot to Handle, so I watched one season and I never will watch it again. But yeah, Love Island is really good. I watched all the freaking versions. Not all, okay, I watched the Australia one, the American one. Everything that's on Netflix, I watch. So that has been very entertaining. And to me, that is my multitasking show. That is the show I play when I'm running errands, doing whatever I want to do, cleaning my room, walking around, replying emails. Like, it is the show that I will not and I refuse to give my undivided attention to, because I cannot let my brain rot until like that. You know, like, just a little bit can. So yeah, other than that, I think in terms of reality TV, the latest reality TV series I watched was The Ultimatum Queer Edition. So that one was also another, wow, drama, like, no. And then after the reunion, watch everything, then they put a black screen and tell you, actually, this couple break up. Then you're like, wow, then watch everything for what? That was the one I was like, that was the part of the show that made me feel like, okay, like, at least they stay together. So yeah, it was just the drama around it. The memes that come out of it, the parodies that come out of all these reality shows are the best part, if you ask me. So I've also done like a Love is Blind parody somewhere on my channel like a few years back when it first came out. So yeah, watching the jokes around it has been a lot of fun lah. So that is the reality TV series part. I would not recommend any of these unless you really just want to waste time and watch something mindless. And finally, because I love my boyfriend enough, I'll give him an honorable mention. Okay, so because of Shark, I have started watching One Piece. And it is like a show he swears by, and it is the best thing ever, like, basically, according to him. So I started watching it after 3 years of him asking. About damn time, like, honestly. So I am currently 100-ish episodes in, which is quite insane to me, but there are 1,000 over episodes out there, so I'm only 10% into this, which is quite crazy, but I'm really liking it so far. So I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying how everything has unraveled, how I've been introduced to a lot of like the main crew and the main characters, and I already have an all-time favorite character, which is Chopper, because he's the cutest thing ever. His voice already, I cannot take it. So yeah, it's actually been quite a fun watch. I never thought I would enjoy an anime this much, because I normally just don't, like, I just don't gravitate towards it. I don't consider even watching it. But I'm glad I'm giving it a shot, and I'm enjoying it a lot so far. So yeah, shout out to Shark, I guess. Thank you. Anyways, that was my list of shows that I watch and I'm watching and I would recommend or would not recommend the reality TV part. But Shark is staring at me in the corner right now as I mentioned One Piece just now. Anyways.
Ciao. Anyway, so.
So that was my list. Hopefully this was a fun list for you guys to listen through or watch through. And hopefully you will take a recommendation or two. And if there was something already on your list you were planning to start, I hope this episode made you decide to watch it and go enjoy it and love it as much as I do lah. But right now.
Kring kring.
Hello. It's time for your unsolicited advice of the week. If you watch a lot of TV like me, just know that not everything you see on TV is real. Don't believe everything online, okay? Unless you're watching Crime Watch, because that is my all-time favorite local drama. So that was the end of this episode of The Pretty Girls Club. Thank you for watching. If you have a show that you want to recommend me because you've already seen my list and you know what kind of stuff I like, then let me know in the comments. Maybe I'll give it a shot, or maybe I'll just completely ignore you and never in my life watch the show. Who knows? Okay, sorry. Yeah, let me know if you watch anything I recommended. Okay, bye. Love y'all. Happy watching.